Good morning, Emmanuel. We welcome you to worship here this morning, whether you're a regular attender or a visitor. We welcome you too if you're listening to the recording and send you our best wishes. Today is a very special day. It's our celebration of harvest. But for the second reason, this is the first time we've had the choir back in 18 months singing in church. So what a joy that is to all of us. Two reasons: to be grateful and to be full of hope.
We haven't heard you yet.
We're celebrating harvest, and the bits and pieces we have brought of food we've hopefully put at the back, and they will be distributed later to the Swindon Food Collective. So thank you for your donations. After the service, we will be serving tea and coffee in the back premises for you to enjoy for the first time since lockdown. We hope you will stay and feel comfortable. The next time this will happen will be in November. If you would like to join the beverage making rota, please speak to Anne Farrow. This morning's reading will be read by Norman Goodall, and the prayers of intercession are compiled by and read by me, Liz Gibney. And finally, we will have a few moments of silence as I light the candle and we prepare for worship.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sounds as if you've done that before sometime in your life. Well done, and thank you for being with us this morning. From the letter to the Hebrews, we read, "Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We, the children of God, gathered for worship today, here in this place and in so many different places, rejoicing, hoping, expecting, bringing our thoughts, our prayers, our questions, and a God who knows and cares. Our first hymn this morning, "Come, Ye Thankful People, Come," raise the song of harvest time. After yesterday, with all its rain up and down the country, it is absolutely beautiful to be watching the sun come through the windows. And if it is shining in your eyes, just bear with it a moment. It will move. Don't put the curtains down. Enjoy it. Autumn has certainly arrived. And as we celebrate autumn, it's the time where, yes, the leaves start falling and you've got to sweep them up all the more than you did before. But the colours, the changing of the colours and the time of harvest is with us. And we give thanks to God. Let us come before God now with our prayers of thanksgiving and confession, and we will end saying the words of the Lord's Prayer. All together. Let us pray. When we look around, when we see, when we feel, when we smell, O Lord, so much is going on the reality of the changing seasons of the year. The land that is watered. The beauty. Knowing that we are part of that creation, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the hard work that day after day goes on in so many different forms. From the work on the land to teachers and doctors and nurses, for the work in our homes, for all that is done. Here today we give you thanks for those who feel exhausted, for those that feel that they don't know where things are coming from, not even tomorrow, but in the next 15 minutes, we pray that they may find in you a source of comfort, of rest, of new strength. We thank you for the gifts that we have received, for a church that is so beautifully and tactfully decorated in its flowers and in the products reminding us of colors. For all that has been brought to be shared, we give you thanks. O Lord, we give you thanks for those who inspire us, for those who have taught us, for those that walk with us. We give you thanks for those leaders who show us a way forward in accordance to your will. Dear God, we, your children, gathered here today, and as part of your family in all world, praise your name. We approach you, the Lord of grace, so that we may receive mercy. Help us the way forward. But we also recognize our mistakes, our excesses, the things that we should have done and haven't done, and how easy it is to justify ourselves. Forgive us, O Lord, for reducing your creation to that which suits us. Forgive us for the people we have excluded and forgotten and ignored. Forgive us for not treating this, your creation, with respect. Forgive us for believing that everything belongs to us and not to all your people. O Lord, help us when we are confused. Guide us when we are perplexed. Push us when we seek the easiest way out. You have called us to seek justice and resist evil. Give us the courage of our faith to speak your word. You have asked us to love and serve others. Forgive us when we walk past them. O Lord, we come to you, to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and seek your forgiveness. Make us new, so that we may join with the people of God everywhere, recognizing you as Father, recognizing each other as sisters and brothers, and praising your name. Make us new, that we may celebrate your presence, and we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Norman will now lead us in the reading. It is not a consecutive reading, that's why there are no verses to follow, and it's easier to follow the reading as it is printed, from the book of Ruth.
Thank you, Robert. That was everything I was going to say. Oh. I don't need to now, though, do I? So straight into the reading, then. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you go thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favour in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favour in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." Then Ruth, the Moabite, said, He even said to me, "Stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, otherwise you might be bothered in another field." So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The woman of the neighbourhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Norman, very much. O Lord, before us is your word. Through the Spirit, give us a vision, give us courage. Help us not only to listen and to interpret, but to live what you are teaching us. Amen. Why is the story of Ruth such an amazing story? Probably because it's such a surprising story, an unexpected story, one that you would not expect probably to find in the Bible at all. It includes some incredibly loving moments, moments like the ones we've heard just now that warm our heart. It could also be that through this story we enter the life of Jesus a few years down the road, in more ways than one. Or could it be because it is a challenging way to live faith in the 21st century? In very short four chapters, what more could we ask for? To grasp the full story and its impact on our harvest today, we have to go back in time, long before the story of Ruth begins. Long before Ruth was even a gleam in her parents' eyes. Because without it, we would never understand why it is such a life-changing moment. Do you see, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, we are told of a series of reasons for which people were not allowed into the assembly of God's people. I'll just mention one before I get to the main one, but the truth is, and it's not my words, it's gospel, it's in the Bible. If you had crushed testicles, you were not allowed into the assembly of God's people. But you weren't allowed for other reasons. And in verses 3 and 4 of Deuteronomy 23, we read, No Ammonite or Moabite shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of their descendants shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet you with food and water on your journey out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Mesopotamia, to curse you. And why are those words important? Because the very beginning of the book of Ruth sets a scene. Famine, hunger, no bread. It talks about Bethlehem and a family from Bethlehem that moved to Moab so that they can eat, so that they can survive. They are foreigners in a foreign land. The sons of this family marry two Moabite women, one of them being Ruth. That's why the story and the pre-story is so important. The Moabites were cursed because they did not provide food or water to the people of God. And in the reading today, just think what Norman has read to us, how food and water are mentioned as essential to the story. Today we come across Ruth and her mother-in-law back in Bethlehem after the tragedy. The three men of the family have died. Naomi's husband, the two boys, they were in Bethlehem when all this happened. And as a matter of fact, never forget, please, that Bethlehem means city of bread. You know where we're going to hear Bethlehem in just over 2.5 months' time, don't you? It's an important place. Boaz, who owns a field, knows about Ruth's love for her mother-in-law, for the family. He says so. I've heard of what you have done for her. But she doesn't know what Boaz does know. Ruth's family is also his family. He invites Ruth to only gather on his field. Boaz has made sure she will be safe with the women that are working there, to take water when she needs it, to eat food when she needs it, to collect grain as much as she needs, and not only what has been left on the sides for those who have none, following Leviticus 25. He has ordered the young men not to bother her. Very politically correct way of saying what we all know what that would mean. She's surprised by all this. She says to him, "Why are you doing this?" Because in her own words, "I am a foreigner." And we might add, knowing the book, yes, a foreigner, not only a foreigner, but one that we should have nothing to do with for 10 generations. That means forever and ever. You should be lucky. Aren't you glad that we haven't applied the rule? Aren't you lucky that we haven't tried to stone you? Aren't you lucky that Boaz has said to the boys, don't go after her, and that there's bread and water, and that you are safe? No. No. She isn't lucky. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Little did I know, when I started thinking about this, that this week's news would be taken up by Sarah Everard and what happened. And how indignant everybody is when they say women should learn how to look after themselves. Ruth, learn how to look after yourselves, because boys will be boys. Rubbish! That is not right. Ruth should be able to do what she's doing with the same dignity that Sarah Everard could walk the streets. But that wasn't the case. So much so that it is emphasized in the reading. Harvest shows us how little things become life-changing moments. When everything was in place to support all forms of exclusion, of rejection, of racism, when all could have been justified because that's what the law said, you shall have nothing to do with Moabites for 10 generations. Boaz is moved by Ruth's kindness, her commitment, her love for Naomi. And so all that could have been is not. All that Ruth could have feared when she uses the word, but I'm a foreigner, does not happen. To feel empathy, to have a switch on our brain that will connect with our heart, that's quite an exercise. And we need working on it, because it won't come automatically. It needs determination to go beyond the logic, the tradition, the usual way of doing things. It's been right for so long. Why should we change it? Probably because it's wrong. Probably because it was wrong from the very beginning. It needs determination to go beyond that logic. And this is what happens in the narrative today. And the narrative today happens at harvest time. Ruth was moved. Why is all this happening to me, she says to her mother-in-law. She's part of a new family. Naomi was moved by the commitment of Ruth. Ruth is moved by the dedication of Boaz. And lives are changed because they recognize this. And we know how the story comes to an end. Ruth and Boaz are married. They have a child. According to the Jewish tradition, that child will be the child of Ruth's dead husband. They name that child, the town names the child, Obed, who will become the father of Jesse, who will become the father of David. And all this happens in the city of bread, Bethlehem. Go to Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth, the foreigner from the despised Moabites, is one of the three women mentioned in that genealogy. That's Ruth's story that becomes David's story, that becomes Jesus' story. All because of this harvest. Jesus becomes the bread of life for the world. And having said all this, I find it amazing that Ruth becomes so admired for her dedication and her love. So much so that she enters into the story of Jesus himself. And yet people like Ruth are so quickly despised and rejected in the world today. I am a foreigner, she says. And for many people, that is enough to brand the people that carry that name. So easily despised and rejected. But clearly God's choice is with these people. My father was a wandering Aramean. That's the creed of the people of God. Jesus becomes an immigrant before he's a month old. God has a special place in his heart for widows and orphans and those who have nobody who will care for them. So why the confusion in the world today? It's not right. And if we don't point that out, where are we living our faith? This is harvest. This is the lesson of harvest, of that harvest and this harvest. Nothing that we have brought today is for us. It will be going to those people who are struggling, who are lonely, who are concerned and worried dead about where the next food is coming from. And we will probably not see them. They won't see us. But it's like Boaz says to Ruth, stay here. Things can change. What was impossible will become possible through our lesson of harvest. In God's eyes, there are no longer foreigners. That sharing resources may also find love, life, hope, reconciliation, and peace. And this is one mighty challenge. In a world where discrimination, xenophobia, racism, hatred can be found wherever you look, where foreigners are despised more and more, where refugees and immigrants are made to feel uncomfortable and unwelcome. Empathy, which is what changed this story, is so needed in the world today. We can no longer be part of reproducing a system of hatred, pain, and sadness. We can't look at ourselves in the mirror and call ourselves followers of the life, Lord of life, and support things like this. The story of Ruth invites us to consider that there are times when that which has been needs to be questioned. And we are living in a time where we have not only the possibility, but also the responsibility of asking why. Why is this right? Why has this continued so long? I came face to face with a situation like this years back in 2015 at the Swindon Literary Festival, when I attended a talk by a man called Roman Krasnarich, who's written a book called Empathy. And I quote from that book, "Empathy is part of every area of life, be it sport, in workplaces, in church, in politics. What makes highly empathic people is their desire and capacity to defy what is wrong. When empathetic action calls for it." And that is what Jesus did. I love harvest time. The church looks beautiful. What we do is great. And I love the part where we thank God, as we sang in the hymn just now. What I hope will gradually disappear. Call me a fool. People have done it before. Feel free to do it again. The fact that we have to give the product of the land to those who don't have will always be a frustration until things have changed. So is not that the essence of Jesus' teaching? Is not that what harvest is about? We have. We share. Even when it seems difficult, we discover that this understanding of harvest becomes a life-changing moment. It changes the life for others. and it will change our life. And this way the world will be a better world. It is at the heart of our faith, that which we call grace. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that we is us and all God's people. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The choir delightfully will now lead us in the anthem. And you can't imagine how grateful we are and how we are looking forward to this moment.
Thank you.
If we could, we'd give you a hug, but it'll probably make you cringe. But thank you very much. We dedicate the offering, and will this one box here at the front? Because at this time, we would be asking you, as we've done in years past, to bring the gifts forward. But, you know, that is not possible at this time. So what I see, and you will see on your way out, is that wonderful garden setting with boxes of food surrounding it. And we will dedicate all that through the representation of this one box. You've just sung to us, "Praise to thee, O Lord of all creation. All things come of thee." We give thanks to God for the offering. What we have set apart, what we give in different ways, what we are giving for the Desai project, what we have brought today, of which this box is one example, so that others may probably find a reason to smile, even if for an instant. We bring our lives and all that we have and are to the throne of God. And as you can read in the printed order of service, in a world where most infants in 91 countries are malnourished, warns the UNICEF, climate crisis, conflict, COVID, all stunting progress on nutrition. In 2019, close to 750 million, or nearly 1 in 10 people in the world, were exposed to severe levels of food insecurity. God, multiply the humbleness of our gifts and the dedication of our lives so that harvest and what follows on may be that life-transforming moment for all your people. Amen. And we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. We plow the fields and scatter. Our next hymn. And for the prayers of intercession, Liz will be guiding us this morning. You're new to the team, aren't you, Liz? Yes.
Let us pray. God of the past and of the future, we bring to you in prayer these people and places in our hearts today. Lord of the harvest, we come before you this morning to give thanks that once again you have seen to it that the land and the sea have provided food and sustenance. We give thanks for fishermen, farmers and agricultural workers, for packers, distributors and company boards upon whom we are so dependent. We pray for understanding and appreciation of each other. We pray for a more equal sharing of the world's harvest, for a spreading of work opportunities, for a closing of the divide between rich and poor, and for more understanding between nations, faiths, and cultures. We pray for all engaged in research to safeguard crops against disease and to produce abundant life among those who hunger and whose lives are at risk. Touch our hearts and the hearts of all who live in comfortable plenty and make us wise stewards of your gifts. We pray for this beautiful world in which we live. We find ourselves watching helplessly as systems creak and the old ways no longer seem good ways. Help us to find the will to change our lifestyles so that our world can once again function for the benefit of all. Lord of wisdom, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who make decisions about the resources of the earth, and ask that we may use your gifts responsibly and with thoughts for others. We think in particular of the upcoming climate change conference in Glasgow. We pray for all those involved. Representatives from all the world's governments, those from non-government organisations, businesses, faith groups, scientists, and other groups such as Indigenous peoples' delegations. When the truth is before us, Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and minds to understand. Lord of justice, hear our prayer. We pray for one another, for our church families, our communities, and our loved ones. For those who feel overwhelmed by the challenges of each day, for those adapting to new ways of living, for those who are young and for their teachers, for those who are starting out on new ventures, for those who are full of joy and for those who share in it, for those who are ill and for their carers, for those close to death, for those who are grieving. Help us all to leave behind all that separates us from you and from one another, and to follow your call to trust and to love. Lord of compassion and love, hear our prayer. Amen.
Thank you very much, Liz. Our final hymn this morning: for the fruits of all creation, thanks be to God. Gifts bestowed on every nation, thanks be to God.
Thank you. life-keeping, thanks be to God. In the just reward of labor, God's
Our service comes to an end, but not our serving. We leave this place with the assurance that God has made us different as the colours of the flowers that decorate, as the produce of the earth, as our talents, as the richness of this world. So let us go in the assurance that God's grace walks with us, that we, having received blessing, may be a blessing, that having received love, may love. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, with those we should love and find so difficult to love, and God's people everywhere. Go in God's peace. Amen.
Amen.